Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
When I say, should we bring our swimsuits? You say, well, yeah, weather permitting.
With Dusty Hera.
I didn't get into college. Check me out. I'm kick-ass.
And Cam Cleland.
I almost joined a frat in college myself, but they tried to make me chug a 40.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
Put my nuts on the table, and then I did the damn thing.
All right, college football. We're talking about it. What do you got? There,
oh no, guy? I just had to make this one point because there's a lot of great texts coming in, and I wanted to say if we ever did expand as college football to eight or more, and got to that point, you do understand is that recruiting and teams would get better. You know why? Because five-star recruits would stop going to Alabama only, because when you get told this team always goes to the playoff, where does the best talent go? If you know that you can get in, and there's eight, maybe 12 that can get in, guess what that recruiting base does? It expands, and that talent starts to go other places, knowing they have an opportunity to get in the dance. So it makes it better for college football. So that's why I say expand it, because you won't get as many juggernauts anymore.
True debt.
Okay, that was it?
Yeah. I may disagree a little bit with the five stars dispersing equally.
No, I didn't say they would all disperse, but they would have.
I think regionally it would still go to USC, Alabama, Ohio State. I think you'd still see that, but I get the point of more recruits, like the upper echelon recruits, wouldn't all just stand in a line to play at Alabama anymore.
No.
And have like a four deep of five-star and four-star kids. Okay, keep your text coming. We'll get to some of that feedback as it comes in. I'm getting the feeling that we still have a chunk of apathetic fans, but the ones that aren't are fighting really hard. Right now, though, it's 7:07 on the fan.
Dusty and Cam want to set up your sports day.
I tend to agree with my thought process only.
No.
This is The Front Yard, a look ahead at the top stories, the hottest topics, and the big games in front of you. Brought to you by Stark Street Lawn and Garden. Kicking grass for over 50 years. Online at starkstreet.com.
Damian tries to step back and find Nurkic. Plucks the deflection, gives to Dame, back to Nurk, into the lane, scoops and scores. He has not forced anything tonight. The Blazers on top here by 12.
Kevin Calabro, Lamar Hurd on the call for NBC Sports Northwest. I like Lamar Hurd dropping a nope real quick right in there. As the Blazers trounce the Nuggets 99-82. Yusuf Nurkic with the bucket there. Played 30 minutes and in the fourth quarter, folks, as the Blazers run away behind the defense in a 99-82 win. And that is the, second time all season that the Blazers have held an opponent under 90 points, as the opener against Phoenix was the only other time.
Yeah.
It was tough sledding for Denver, 35% shooting, 28% from three. And it was a balanced effort from the Blazers, where you had 17 from Nurkic and McCollum, 15 from Dame.
You know who really stood out to me last night that I think is kind of winning me over a little bit, that I really like, I kind of just like everything about it, is Noah Vonleh. He got 10 rebounds last night, but his physicality that he has decided to play with in the interior, he is not a pushover in there. He can rebound with anybody, the best of him. He's got long arms, the way he blocks shots, the way he hustles, how good a shape he's in. You know, he's a really, what is he, 21 years old? He's a young man that's out there. I can see a lot of potential in this guy, and I get what Coach Stotts and how he's using him. It was really exciting to see that kind of moment from a young man that just is. You kind of just see the potential and the upswing for him.
I think last night we saw Noah Vonleh probably in the role that he's best suited for with this Blazers team, which is coming off the bench. Caleb Swanigan getting his first start of his NBA career. He fouled out in 20 minutes of action. And there were times he looks, he's a rookie. He got rooked a few times.
Yeah.
But he does look comfortable out there, more so than other rookies that we've seen come through Portland. And he got his first start. And I think that Noah Vonleh, he got starters minutes off the bench and playing 26. But you're right, he did look more active in a better flow. And there's just some guys that play better coming off the bench. And Noah Vonleh was forced to be a starter due to depth issues with this team and because of injury last year. And then this year because he played really well alongside Jusuf Nurkić down the stretch. But I think that it gives you a different – it gives teams an adjustment to make
with
the style of games that Caleb Swanigan have and Noah Vonleh have, because the spacing is so much better when Swanigan is on the floor playing alongside Nurkić. And then when Vonleh comes in, it is a little bit of a shock to the system. We didn't know that the starting lineup was coming, but I like the five that they put on the floor last night.
Well, the only thing I have to continually question as I do that is that Coach Stotts enjoys, he does this, he puts a guy in as a starter that never really finishes a game. If Biggie's going to be that, if Swanigan's going to be the guy that's the Noah Vonleh of last year, then I'm confused by that. That's an interesting strategy. But like I said, I'm here behind a mic. That man's coaching an NBA franchise. That's why he gets the big dollars, and it's his system. No problems with that. But other than that, very balanced last night.
Well, you have starters and closers, and I think that...
Well, why?
Because guys just play better in different roles. I mean, it's not unique to Portland.
No, I know it's not unique to Portland, but when you have starters are usually, you put them in because, in my opinion, it's my opinion, doesn't matter, you like it or not, it could be stupid. Starters are the guys that you trust the most in situations when you need them to be. That's why they're starters.
Okay? Yeah, but down there are a guys stretch, that come down.
Okay, fair. It's fair. So I just wonder, what is the strategy to have Caleb in there to get him more development? He brings a better matchup. There might be an analytic in there that Coach Stotts likes to use, a matchup reason that he likes to use. I'm fine with it.
He did foul out too.
I understand, because he's a rookie and he's still trying to find his way. That's fine. You're trying to get him more and more minutes. I just say that is that when I hear the word starter, it's an old school mentality, or it's a mentality that says when I'm a starter, that means I'm at a different level than the rest of the team on the bench. That's how I look at it.
In the NBA, you see guys get starter minutes off the bench quite often. I mean, Evan Turner's a great example of that. But as it pertains to kind of that lineup and that flow, I think with the Blazers too, I don't think you have five elite solidified starters either. I think that is also the issue. You have three guys that
I don't disagree with that
are that guy that you said are head and shoulders above everybody else in Dame, CJ, and Nurkić. Other than that,
well, where is that team?
It is the what?
That team only consists in Golden State.
Well, then that explains your question of the starters finishing games, because you get the guys who matchups and flow of game.
No, look, I understand my point. My point is can you find consistency from what the Blazers are trying to do? They're still searching for that number four, or that flexible four that likes to come off the bench or occasionally can be a starter. That's what teams are always doing back and forth. But it just feels like that's now what Caleb Swanigan is, now the role of Vonleh was last year. That was just my point.
Yeah, and I think that we're probably going to see that a lot more until he kind of – he can take that over eventually. And he can be that fourth guy if his development continues. But with the way it was last night, he fouled out. And he was the only guy with the plus minus in the negative, which was a little surprising.
But he's got a big body and he's physical and he's not afraid to muddy it up in there. And I like that.
And that's what that starting lineup needs.
Yeah.
Because we thought that was Nurkić when he said, you know, we're the bad boys. But there hasn't been that physicality that you need. And I think there's something to having a guy that, even if Caleb Swanigan fouls out early in his career, if you just say, go be you, go do you. You got six fouls, go use them. You know, we've got plenty of scorers in this lineup. Be active, get out there, don't give any easy ones up, and he's definitely not doing that. And I appreciate that from Caleb Swanigan, especially from a rookie. If you're not going to be the guy that's out there dropping 15 to 20, be a guy that is bringing physicality.
He really reminds me of a young or a Zach Randolph. He just feels like he's not a leaper. He's a guy that's got good size. Everything about him, he kind of plays that kind of deep game. He can probably guard three different guys on the court. He's not going to guard guys that are out front in the backcourt, but he's that kind of guy. He could probably have a mid-range shot as he develops. So I like it. Yeah. I like seeing it. I also like seeing the new group of closers that were out at the finish of the game when the game was out of control.
when the game is in hand.
I get to see Zach Collins make a three ball, and it was, hey, this kid can shoot. He's got range.
Yeah.
And Myers Leonard didn't,
couple
even,
turnovers
didn't
too.
Even make the court. Well, he did. He got 2 points. But
Myers Leonard? He didn't play.
I'm sorry. He didn't play.
He did
I'm
not.
Sorry. I was looking at the wrong. I was like,
Myers
no, he
Leonard
did.
Did.
He did not play.
Did not play. So your new closers lineup is Lehman, Collins, Shabazz, Connaughton. I think Von Lay was out there too.
Was it Von Lay?
With them. Yeah. The closers.
Closers.
Get it. Blazers win 99-82, and gone are the questions around Jusuf Nurkić. Boy, he found his stride against his former team as they held Jokic to just 6 points last night on 2 of 9 shooting. He's been lighting up teams across the league. It's good to see that. Front Yard on the Fan, brought to you by Stark Street Lawn and Garden, the better way to buy power equipment since 1965. A familiar tune was heard in college football. Beaver fans have heard this before, but it's not going well at his new stop. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
As the NFL turns, Jerry Jones sang this morning in a weekly radio hit he does in Dallas. He's not backing down. NFL owners, we knew this. In his radio appearance, he said, I'm not going away. Yeah. I'm not doing this. He got a cease and desist from other owners yesterday, so buckle up.
Rich guys fighting, huh? Is that kind of fun when rich people fight?
Yeah.
We get a lot of, you got a lot of fans fighting. All the time, you get to see the Miami fight between the Notre Dame fight. You get to see the fans fight. I want to see some rich guys fight because they're just dudes too. Eventually, when you fight, you just choose to not use your fists. You just fight with lawyers.
NFL's going to Vegas.
Hey, I'm going to send you a piece of paper.
Okay.
Tough guy.
NFL is heading to Vegas. Let's put them in the octagon. Dana White. Jones versus Arthur Blank. Let's do this.
Old guys fight. Have you ever seen the meme of the old guys at the nursing home fight? Have you ever seen that video of those old guys in Russia fighting?
No.
It is hysterical. I know there's you out there, some of these people where they fall off the curb and one guy's trying to be the mediator. That's what it's going to look like. Right, I don't know if I want to see that.
Let's do this. Let's
puff your chests out. My lawyer's better than your lawyer, and he's good with pins.
Well, they won't need lawyers in Lincoln, Nebraska, as this is great. Bill Moose, the athletic director at Nebraska.
What did he say?
He said that he is not going to fire Mike Riley in the middle of the season. Mm. He was asked directly, are you going to fire Mike Riley? And he said, no. It's not like I've got a coach to hire this afternoon at 3:30. Mike Riley deserves to finish the 2017 season. That's how I operate. So that's the vote of confidence that I think Mike Riley really wanted there in Lincoln.
Yeah.
He's going to let him finish out the year, just as Paul Wolf got to finish out his season before getting canned and hiring Mike Leach. But I don't think that Mike Riley is really helping his cause in Lincoln, because this is something that we heard a lot during his time in Corvallis, and it kind of just went with a, and nothing was really said about it. There is big pushback with Mike Riley over this 30-second soundbite that is making the rounds from his press conference yesterday.
This place has maintained their passion for their teams and Husker football for a long time, and I'm certain that they will continue to do that, and they should. And I love this team. I love their approach every week. We have had very few issues except for the games. And I appreciate that, the work that they try to do and get ready, and same with the coaches. And I'm positive the fans will forever love their team.
They've had very few issues except for the games.
I understand what he's saying, but yeah, it doesn't sound good when the headline is very few issues except for the games. Yes, winning cures everything.
In that's
the
big problem.
We know who Coach Riley is. Come on. He is a guy, shucks. We're doing things the right way. We're cleaning up. We're doing things this way. And that's how we do it. We go through the right routine. We practice the right way. But, oops, we're just not winning. That's kind of – I don't care if you're do whatever you do off the field, on the field, how you coach, do whatever you do. Just show us wins. That's unfortunately where we're at in sports.
Hey, this is the same program, though, that embraced Lawrence Phillips until he went to prison.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and they did it because they were winning games.
They like to win.
That 94 Nebraska team is still revered in Lincoln, and they didn't win off the field. Mm-mm. They took a lot of L's off the field, mm-hmm. but what they'll revere and what they'll remember and what they'll embrace is the national championship. So when Mike Riley said that, they're going, hey, whoa. Like, we get it. You got some good guys on the team, and that's nice to have. We want to win football games, and that's important to us.
Where's the fine line? My coach has said this before, and I remember the coach. He said, you got to have a structure of guys that are built in. You got to have some dudes. You got to have some other guys. You got to have some of these guys, and we're all coming together. Nobody cares about winning the offseason. Go, good. Good for you. You won the recruiting class. Mm-hmm. Good for you. You know what you need to do? Find ways to win. If you're sitting here in Oregon and Oregon wins the national championship and five guys are, I don't know, might have a few off the field problems or anything, are you going to remember those five guys or are you going to remember the national championship?
People will remember the national championship.
And they will continue to do that in sports until it's completely eradicated from it, which will never happen.
Yeah. Right now, Nebraska is 4-6 on the season. They finish up the year against number 14 Penn State on the road and number 20 Iowa. It is looking like the Cornhuskers are likely going to finish the season 4-8 and out of a bowl game. And then we are looking at Bill Moose with his comments that it's not like I have a coach ready to hire at 3:30 this afternoon. My goodness.
Or
like,
does he?
Writing on the wall, you're done.
I mean, of course. I mean, yes.
In Sharpie. I think they painted it on the water tower in Lincoln. Yeah. That this is going to happen here, and now Nebraska is in all likelihood opening that coaching search up. They will join the ranks of Tennessee and Florida, where Chip Kelly is now a candidate for the Florida job. Apparently, they're vetting Chip Kelly because there's an SEC rule that states you have to get anybody that has had NCAA infractions against them approved by the SEC.
Yeah,
you think that the SEC would stop Chip Kelly from coaching at Florida because he had a show cause from his time at Oregon?
Very good question. The SEC runs through Nick Saban. So would Nick Saban vet and say, I don't want Chip Kelly? Remember, Nick Saban said spread offense and up-tempo was terrible for football. He said he's ruining football.
Well, now he runs spread elements and more tempo. Yeah,
Brian Daboll and that, whatever that system you want to call it. It's a Patriots offense.
Well, they run a lot. They run zone read stuff too.
They have a little bit of implements. It's in every offense now.
Yeah. But Chip Kelly now a candidate there, in that now that you add Nebraska to it, you have Tennessee, Florida, all likelihood Nebraska. That pushes Oregon State down to fourth. Is there going to be any? I mean, when we're just currently looking at it on the surface nationally of open vacant jobs, do you think there's going to be any other ones in the Pac-12? I mean, does Mora get canned at UCLA?
Sure, it has a lot of leaning that way, but I haven't heard any rumblings from anybody down at UCLA that has said yes or no against it. We haven't heard a vote of confidence from the athletic director, and we haven't heard a rumblings inside and out. Now, what I did see this weekend, which was something which upset Josh Rosen and it upset Jim Mora, was that somebody paid for a Fire Jim Mora flag to be flown by airplane over the Rose Bowl this weekend. And did you know that that cost over $30,000 to do? Ew. And it was called out by Josh Rosen and Jim Mora. I said, you really are going to spend $30,000 to fly over our Rose Bowl and say, fire Jim Mora? Yes. And you mean there's plenty of people. And Josh Rosen went white too. There's a lot of people that don't make $30,000 a year. And that's what you're going to invest in. So, yeah. So maybe there's a few frustrated UCLA people down there that want him fired, but could it be? His buyout's not small.
It is $12.275 million.
That's not a small chunk of change for UCLA, but certainly enough. Can you imagine having enough money to pay for a fire coach flag to be flown over a game?
Well, that tells you that it's a pretty rich booster that probably does it.
Certainly. You don't put a GoFundMe together to put together a flag ceremony over a game.
Yeah. Man.
Do you?
They're 5-5 right now. No, you don't. I'm looking at it. They're 5-5 right now. If you look at UCLA, Their remaining games are USC this week and then Cal next week. Wow. Talk about two toss-up. Well, one toss-up game against Cal. They could finish the year 5-7. Is that enough to pay the $12.275 million?
It's a good question.
Because it's not looking like it's trending upwards. Yeah,
these
is
buyouts
it?
Are so big for these coaches, but I start to wonder if the Pac-12, when the buyouts are so big, the Pac-12 doesn't have the amount of pockets that are deep enough TV-wise. It's got to come from boosters.
Boosters.
It's got to. And look, we know that UCLA's got plenty of money down there. That's not one of the things. But the most revenue-generating program in the entire conference is Washington. That has the most amount of money that it generates. But that's not the most amount of donations. It doesn't have the biggest alumni fund, certainly. But if we're talking athletic departments, yeah, UCLA's got plenty of revenue to be able to handle that. But will they do it?
I don't think they do. I think they wait one more year.
Well, I think Josh Rosen comes back.
You think that Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen come back
Would
now?
Would you want to go to the Giants? Which team are you picking, the Giants or the Cleveland's going to get a number one pick.
You know, that's an interesting conversation because hasn't it seemed like the shine has come off both Darnold and Rosen? And maybe the best thing for it is that their seasons haven't panned out the way they have.
Remember, the shine has come off those two from the college perspective, not the scouts and NFL talent evaluators. The shine is still extremely high.
I've seen a lot of the draft things now and those prognosticators.
How are those draft people employed?
What?
They're not employed by NFL franchises.
Well, I know. I get that.
Okay. So that's not, the horses on that.
Hold on. Just listen. They're saying, though, that from what they have heard that from NFL scouts, now take it for what it's worth, though, that there are guys that are vaulting up and, you know, more of the defensive players.
Could be. But defensive players will not win you a title and a championship.
And if I'm Josh Rosen, the Giants do sound a lot better than going to the Browns.
They certainly do. You remember Jared Goff was number one. Carson Wentz was number two.
Yeah.
How are those teams right now?
They're pretty good.
Yeah. So you and guess who, when you draft an offensive lineman number one or a defensive tackle number one, how are those teams?
If I'm Rosen, I'm going.
Yeah, I would go too.
I don't think he comes back.
But if Cleveland has the number one pick, would you go to Cleveland? That's where you go to
die,
destroy your career.
Yeah.
That's your next college season.
No.
It's 4 years there and you're trapped there. Remember, if you're a first round pick, they have your rights for 5 years plus a 6-year option. That's terrible.
Don't you just do what the...
That's five years of hell.
Okay. Don't you do what the Mannings did?
Yes. It's exactly what you do what John Elway does. You go in the supplemental draft. I'm going to go do this and I'll come back. Or come back for another year. Sit out. Play a couple games. Don't really care. Come back and play. What's your risk? Come back to play at UCLA. Okay.
Well, the risk is Matt Barkley.
Barkley.
Yeah. Who was projected number one overall pick or top five pick and then came back and...
I'll tell you 100 out of 100 times, the NFL is always going to be there. Your college game is gone. You don't get 4 more years again. You can play 15 years in the league. He could be an average guy. He can make $50 million in the league, Josh Rosen, and being a backup and just extending his career if he wants to. But college is gone.
What makes you think, though, that Cleveland won't be the number one pick after his senior year?
I don't know.
That's why I think you just go and tell Cleveland no. I will not do. I mean, I don't have a problem with guys doing that to franchises like Cleveland where you're like, no, absolutely not.
I would advise my clients or anybody if I was an agent to say, stay away from Cleveland. Yeah. And don't even think about it.
All right. We do it every week at 7:30. It is our sink or swim. We take a look at the games of impact around the Pac-12 and how the teams fared last week. Not a good week for the swimmers. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
I love this song so much. What are you shaking your head at over there?
Well, because this, going into the break, we were talking about going to a certain spot and what it would be. And this texter says, Cleveland's going to have the first pick for the next 5 years. Honestly, what are you hiding for?
Talking about here. Resetting if you're just getting your card. Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen.
Or Sam Darnold.
Or Darnold, yeah.
or any quarterback, or Luke Falk, or any quarterback that's going there. Isn't it funny how we send the top mm-hmm. of the industry? Mm-hmm. We send them to the crappiest business. Can you imagine that in any other walk of life? That if you were the number one programming engineer and app designer, and we sent you to Waco, Texas, to work for a, I don't know, bus company mm-hmm. that designs tires that barely makes revenue?
Yeah, but if they were guaranteed to pay you millions of dollars just like everybody else did, then...
See, Dusty, that's the difference, is that these guys as players, when you get to the point of your career, you want to play where it's significant. Money is just a tool. Mm-hmm. You still compete as an athlete. Just because somebody hands you a $5,000 check or $1 million check doesn't change the mentality of wanting to be part of successful people and valuable people.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, the draft is not a...
Everyone's all wrapped up in this money
great
thing.
Idea, but...
Money. It's always about that. You don't get that from players. Guys that are super successful aren't just caught up in the financial windfall of sports.
I get that, and I know, but that's why free agency is a thing. Now, it used to be worse, they would draft you and you couldn't go anywhere else.
But they have you for 6 years, 7 years, because they can franchise you five. They have your rights with an option five. Then they can franchise you for two more years. I'm in Cleveland for 7 years. That's a lot of time.
Yeah. I thought it was, and you don't have to sign your franchise tender.
No, but you can't. They have you. They have you. What are you going to do? Sit out the season?
But that's why you leverage yourself in the draft and you don't go. You just say, no, not going.
I roll the dice.
Roll
the dice.
Just say, forget it. And I'm waiting for the guy to do it because. Yeah. I mean, there hasn't been that guy. Eli Manning and John Elway mm-hmm. are two guys, but mm-hmm. they really even didn't do it because they were just like, yeah, I'm not going to play for you. I'll go play for the other crappy team.
I do like it when there's equal leverage.
Bo Jackson did it. Bo Jackson did it. Mm-hmm. So he's one guy.
He double birded it is what he did.
Mm-hmm. He just went on to play another sport.
Yeah.
But like the other, what is the other option? They can just go sign wherever they want to. And just have like college football all over again?
Yeah.
Is that what it would be?
Yeah.
I wonder how that would look. I mean, like what the NFL would look like. Because I don't think that, I don't think, like a number one quarterback, where would he have gone this past year and just signed and played with?
If he finishes his career and still has a year left, so you have a year less of eligibility. We're talking about a year. No. We're not talking about guys that are done with their eligibility. We're talking about guys that are eligible in college football.
Yeah, I'm talking like where would Mitchell Trubisky have gone and signed because he was the number one quarterback in the draft this past year. Yeah. If he just had an opportunity to go sign wherever he wanted to.
You mean grad transfer somewhere?
No. Oh. I'm talking if they didn't have a draft. If they don't have a draft, where would he have gone and signed? Like, because that's what you're saying is you should just be able to leave college and just sign wherever you want.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is that if you have the option and you have eligibility still left and you're slated to be a first round pick quarterback and the top two teams are hot garbage that you see that there's not the development, you should go back and play one more year is what I said.
Well, I get that. I'm moving on to you say you don't like the draft. So you just, and I asked you, do you just want...
what I said. I said I don't dislike the draft. I said in the industry, is there any other...
Follow me here. If you don't have the draft, where do you... You just want him to go and sign anywhere?
No, I still want the draft. I was making a comparison as this is the system we have. I don't dislike it. I'm just saying if you create power and create leverage, then if you have leverage as a top pick, then you should use your leverage. But not all the guys that are drafted have that kind of leverage.
Yeah, I'm
fine with the draft process, but if you create leverage as the first pick in the draft, remember, I'm only talking about 1% of 1% of guys. I'm not talking about the guy that's drafted in the fourth round.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the one quarterback who's the franchise guy. If you have that leverage, use it.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Man, I wouldn't go back. I'd still go to the NFL, though, because Cleveland's still going to be the number one pick.
Well, because they'd pay you millions of dollars, right?
No, because
you can cash those millions in Cleveland. See how much fun that is.
No, I'm saying Cleveland will still be the number one pick next year, too.
You know that for certain?
Very high probability that Cleveland will likely be the number one pick.
Could be.
You know?
You roll the dice.
Well, you're rolling the dice on coming back and getting hurt and getting no money.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Rosen hurts his shoulder. Boom, done.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big question. Mm-hmm. Well, we blew that segment.
Did we? It's not blown it. We're talking sports.
All right, let's do our sink or swim next. Games of impact in the Pac-12 as we hit week 12 of the regular season. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
Who let the dogs out?
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
All righty. We do it every week. Usually at 7:30, we are talking Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen and whether he should go back or not to UCLA. Games of impact around the Pac-12. And first we go with the games that were last week. Pivotal games around the conference. And we only had a couple last week. We had the Washington-Stanford game on Friday night, and it was a sink for the Pac-12, but a big win for Stanford at home on Friday night, 30-22, eliminating Washington and the Pac-12 from the college football playoff conversation there. In that game, if you just look at it, Bryce Love, people said on Friday night he got himself back in the Heisman Trophy conversation in that, but Baker Mayfield made it yet another statement the very next day, as Bryce Love went for 30 carries, 166 yards, and three touchdowns in the win for Stanford. The other game of note that we had was Can Washington State went on the road, and the Cougs proved it, man. 33-25, stormed out to an early 13-0 lead. Utah rallied back, but, man, the Cougs are for real this year. They're winning on – they've got two wins on the road now in conference play, and Luke Falk is now the – all-time touchdowns leader in conference history.
Their road wins are good, but they're not great. The opportunity for them is coming up to win the biggest road game they've seen in years. In fact, there's a group of Husky kids that would never lose to the Cougs as seniors right now. So the Cougars, you got to step up. If you want to get into this conversation and get into the Pac-12 championship, you need to make sure that you win your biggest road game coming up. You got 2 weeks to prepare for it. Go out. You can get it done. Go get it done in Seattle.
How much is this bye week? I mean, if you just sit there and you look at what Washington State has, they have a bye this week heading into the Apple Cup. I mean, that is...
Oh, it's massive.
That is a huge... Yeah.
Extra game plan time, extra time for health, the guys to recover. It's more film study, extra preparation. Jeez, it is. Cougs going in. Other than being on the road, they got a huge advantage.
Meanwhile, if you look at this week, Washington has another very physical team that they have to play back-to-back weeks. Now, you got the extra day of rest because you played on Friday night last week, but you have a Utah team coming in, which they're not the Utah team that we've known from years past, but they still play with that physicality up front. And this is going to be, you know, this isn't, I don't think, a sink or swim for UW, because I think they get back on the right track. Chris Peterson is a track record of getting this team back up and on their feet again.
Yeah, they'll most likely bounce back, but this isn't a team that's – you could see a little bit of frustration and hangover from Washington. They're not immune to it because they know that they're out of the college football playoff. How are the players going to feel? There's still an outside chance to get to the Pac-12 championship, although you need a lot of help from Stanford. But you kind of control that. I don't think there's any give up in all these teams up there because you're fighting for a 10-win season still.
All right, I got a question for you here. We have got – is this a sink or swim game for Oregon at home, or is it only if they have Justin Herbert in as they bring in the Arizona Wildcats? Because Khalil Tate, nobody has slowed him down so far this season. He's been electric.
Yeah, I think that if you don't have Justin Herbert here, what are you going to do defensively to be able to stop Khalil Tate? But what are you going to do offensively other than run the football? Yeah. Because Arizona is going to give up some points on defense. They're going to. But if they can make you even more one-dimensional and you don't have the ability to throw the ball down the field, I think it's a tough day for Oregon. So I think Justin Herbert plays no matter what in this game. I really do. I think it's a lockstep.
Yesterday, Willie Taggart saying he's real close.
He's playing.
Rich Rodriguez said that they are game planning as if Justin Herbert will be the quarterback. But we do have two other games that are they're sink or swim because we're in traditional rivalry game mode now. We got two of them. We got UCLA and USC, which will be playing in a color rush game at Memorial Coliseum, which I think is one of the best things that they do, is that they play blue on red in that game. Aesthetically, I just like seeing the blue on red. Rivalry games are always fun. USC's a 16-point favorite in that game. That's a big line, don't you think?
That's a really big line.
What's the name of this game? Do they have a nickname for the USC-UCLA game, Crawford, our resident L.A. honk?
I don't think they have a name. They just, what's the trophy they play for? It's like the, let me check. Let me text my L.A. people.
That's the most L.A. thing is that
they I don't think they have a name. Do they?
No. And then you have the game, though, between Cal and Stanford. Another rivalry game this week.
The big game.
And this one's down on the farms.
Isn't it the game? The big game.
I always get it confused.
It's the big game.
One is the, I think, isn't Michigan, Michigan-Ohio State the big game, or is that the game? Oh, boy. Now we're just confused
No,
here.
It's the big game. Or it's not. Gosh, we're just arguing over a...
I'm not arguing. I just don't know. I always get it confused. It's just big game. It's
not
big
the game. Big game.
Nope.
It's big game.
It's just big game.
Which one is big game?
Cal Stanford
okay,
is big
I,
game.
So, but I have to say the in front of it.
The big game. No, by the way, they tried to call it the Battle of L.A.
That's not going to work.
That's terrible.
I get most commonly known as the Crosstown Rivalry. So, no, there's no name. For the USC UCLA.
That's a horrible name for it. Okay. Those are our sink or swim games for this week. Other than that, what we have in the Pac-12 this week is Arizona State, Oregon State. And then we got a couple teams with byes. So kind of a short slate of Pac-12 games here as Colorado, UW have the week off. Arizona State heads to Oregon State to close up Reser Stadium for the final time this year. Oregon State, 7-point underdogs.
Hmm.
I'd imagine that line would have been a little bit higher than that one there. All right. That is Sink or Swim. We do it every week at this time. I can't wait. Is there something about rivalry week that gets it going for you? Like, I didn't even realize that we had two rivalry games in the Pac-12 until I just looked at that.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you have the traditional rival games, the crosstown rival and big game going on, next week when you have Apple Cup and when you have the Civil War going on, mm-hmm. that to me is, we're talking biggest games in college football because we're going to have, you know, the Ohio State Michigan game as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of good fun. There is always great feelings about rival games, especially interstate rivals or crosstown rivals from high school to college, even to the NFL. You just get, you know, maybe a little extra juice, maybe. A little extra juice in the game.
Just a little bit. A little bit. All right. Does the Pac-12 need some oversight reform? A bold claim from John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News. What he is proposing the Pac-12 does to enhance their relevancy across college football. Dusty and Cam on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.